So we desire your prayers as we look in the Word of God. Now that song that Brother Bobby Dale and the family sang, if I'm not mistaken, the Salmon sang that several years ago, back probably in the, well, when I think I was living in South Carolina, so that'd be somewhere between 98 and 2004, and made a copy, took the song, and we made just repetition, one right after another and on a tape. And I would take that with me when I was going to install jobs here, there, and yonder. And I literally would pray that song over and over and over. I love that song. He'll do it again. Do we believe that this morning? All right, now I wouldn't say what I've got this morning is a divine, what I'd call divine healing message, but in a way it is. All right, let's go to Malachi, 3rd chapter, 6th verse, to give their starting place. Again, we desire your prayers. All right, 3 and 6 of the good book of Malachi said, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Deuteronomy 7 and 7 to tie into that. "The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth the covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations." Now, what I want to talk about this morning by the help of the Lord is the faithfulness of God. Now, again, I didn't come here prepared to preach, and at one point when I was kneeling down during prayer, I felt like I was ready to go back to the bedroom and go to sleep. I had my physical condition sometimes gets where I can't hardly even do anything. About all I want to do is sit and pray or read or whatever. I don't want to hardly do anything. I don't hardly want to move. But when they were singing that song, I felt like the Lord gave me a touch. So as I told them in South Carolina, not in South Carolina, but in Shawnee, when I had that breakdown in 06, I said, "You pray, I preach. For I am the Lord, and I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now this morning, faithfulness, I thought when the Lord gave me this, I thought I'd tie right in with the one Brother Dan preached on trust. You know, this morning, for people to trust you or to trust God or to trust anybody, there's got to be some faithfulness involved. You don't want to. You can't really put faithful. You can't put trust in somebody you can't trust. You don't have. It's not faithful. I'll get right in the middle. Lord, help us here. You've got to have faithfulness. Parents, we teach our children to be faithful. We teach them that they do their work, and we work with them and work with them and work with them, and we train them and teach them, and we hammer in their heads over and over and over. You're to be faithful on time, to be faithful to your job, to do everything your boss tells you to do, and so forth. To be faithful to your husband, be faithful to your wife. You teach them and teach them and teach them. And you know who sets a great example of faithfulness is God. He has set the example to you and I. Listen, folks, this morning, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a faithful God. Our God this morning had been faithful to every one of us in here down through the years. If it wasn't for his touches of grace and power, if it wasn't for his healing, they probably wouldn't be any of us here this morning. We'd be out here, there, and yonder. But the Lord, in his faithfulness, has been a wise and a faithful God to reach down and to touch us and to bless us and to help us over and over and over. He'll do it again, praise God. We get down in the hard places, get down in the low ebb. lives and who shows up, praise God. The pastor may not know it. The other preacher may not know it. But God knows where you're at. And he can come in and touch you and bless you and help you over and over and over. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Listen, folks, this morning, God created everything. And everything is set in place by the power of God and it stays that way. And he is faithful to everything, connected with everything, to take care of everything all the way down. He never changes. He's got the same love, the same mercy, the same forgiveness, the same pity, the same compassion, the same grace. He has it over and over and over for you and I this morning. We make our mistakes. We make our blunders. But I tell people the one thing you do not want to do is to quit. Yes. Get on your knees and ask for mercy and beg for forgiveness, whatever you need to do. But listen, folks, this morning, he died to save you. He wants you to go to heaven worse than you do. And he's done everything in his power to get you started, and he wants to take you all the way to the end. Praise God.
Amen.
He's a faithful God this morning. He said here, I change not. Need a little water, somebody, please. The Lord this morning is a very, very faithful, loving God. It says over here in Deuteronomy, he said, know therefore. I'm going to tell you, help us this morning to know this faithful God. Know therefore that the God, the Lord thy God, he is God. This is not just anybody that we're working with and dealing with. We're dealing with God this morning. We're dealing with somebody that has been there from the very beginning. He was there before you and I was born. He's going to be there when you and I are gone, unless the judgment come forth. And he's a faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. All the way down, praise God. Thank the Lord for that faithful God. All right, let's go to Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, please. Thank you, sir. 3:23 of Lamentations here. Love these scriptures right in here. Well, I just don't want to. When I get wound up, it gets a little bit too loud, I think. So I don't want to hurt your ears. Thank you. All right, 3:22 of the good book of Lamentations said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now he said here, it is the Lord's mercies, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. The devil liked to get every one of us. He works hard at getting us. He works morning, noon, and night, and all through the night sometimes. I'm up and down all night long usually. Get a little sleep here, a little sleep there. Wife will check in on me. I'm over here, I'm over there. Sometimes she said, well, I heard you snoring, or you were back in your office or whatever you're doing back there and studying usually, or maybe doing book work or whatever. But up and down all night. But the Lord is my portion. He's my portion. And it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Thank the Lord. Devil wanted to consume you and I. Because his compassions, they fail not. And they're new every morning. Every. All the time. They never run out. They're the same. Day after day after day. And said, great. Now his faithfulness is not a little faithfulness. It is a great faithfulness. It is a faithfulness that you and I can count on, depend on. Some people say, well, they can go so far with something, and maybe they just kind of want to stop or back up. But listen, folks, God's greater than that. He goes further than that. He goes the second mile and the third mile and the fourth mile to take you and I and to protect you and I and to help you and I and to encourage you and I and to strengthen you and I. He does this over and over and over and over. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. He said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. I'm going to tell you this morning, as Brother Darren said, you can't get no better than this. I started when I was young, praise God, and I would not take anything. You couldn't give me all the money in the world for the life that the Lord has had mercy and given me, praise God. Don't have a lot of money. Don't have anything, big fancy home or anything. That's what I wanted. But bless God, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is your portion this morning. And that Lord has been faithful to help you and I, to protect us, to bless us, to carry us, and to do things when nobody else would do it, praise God. Somebody said, well, just give up on him. No. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on her. God's right there already before you and I get there. Rebecca was sick in 1987. Really, it was after Cynthia was born. She went through a spell, and Sister Maxine helped, and Grace Lachey helped, and different ones. And right here in this meeting, in 1987, Grace and I was talking, and she said, you need to get the ministers together and come down and pray for your wife. I said, all right. So as I was trying to get that all accomplished, I happened to talk to Rebecca, and Rebecca said, Carl, yes, said, the Lord's already come by. Before the preachers could ever get together to go, we hadn't even left the campground. The Lord had already been there, praise God. He's already come by. His faithfulness, praise God. Listen, folks, no thing is too small for God. If you need God in the smallest way, he's right there. It might be a little headache, so to speak. It might be a little battle, but no matter how small it is, it's not too small for a faithful God. He's right there to touch you and to help you and to bless you. You can have the tears, you can have the joy, but listen, he's there, praise God. He's already come by, Carl. He done been to all you preachers here, bless God. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm glad for a faithful God today, aren't you? He said here, he's my portion. I'm going to tell you, the greatest portion you and I can have is the Lord. The soul's thanking the Lord for being that portion. Therefore will I hope in him. Going to change this just a tad bit, Brother Dan. Therefore I trust in him because of his faithfulness. I have proved that faithfulness from the very beginning to now, for almost 50 years now. I proved him over and over and over. And folks, he's never failed me one time. How about you? Brother Jim, you've been around a long time. Sister Charlotte, you've been around a long time. Has he ever failed you? No. The God is a faithful God, praise God. And he's right there to help you and I over and over. Thank the Lord for that this morning. All right, let's go to Psalms 119 and 90. Psalms 119 and 90. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is into all generations that has established the earth and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precept, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but the commandment is exceeding broad. Now, Molly and I just got through reading through in our personal devotions of a night, or day, however you want to say it, 119. And if you go through this, and as we read this, over and over, what does he point to? The Word. He mentions the word of God, the precepts, the ordinances, different things. He uses a different word, but it all backs up that the word of God has been there for him over and over. I rely on it. I pull on it. I call upon it, so to speak. I use it. Listen, folks, today, God's word is faithful also. That word was written by a faithful God, and it is faithful to all generations. Praise God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's not going to leave. It's not going to perish. It's going to be there when everything else is gone. The word of God is what you and I can stand on when we're going on the other side. Amen. When we're in death or facing death, when we're facing the judge, when it comes, however you want to say it, listen, trial after trial, tribulation after tribulation, this word has a power, it has authority, it has a glory, and listen, folks, you can reach in there and find something out of the word of God that had been faithful, and listen, the one that wrote this, it's not like any other book. I've read books down through the years. You read them, and you reread them, and you reread them, and they're the same thing over and over. I've read this book from cover to cover. I've read scriptures in here hundreds, maybe thousands of times. I've preached out of scriptures numbers of times. And the bottom line is, I get new things out of it over and over and over. Because that faithful God wrote a faithful word, and he puts his power and his authority behind it, and you and I can rely on it. We can pull on it. We can stand on it. We can swing with it. It doesn't matter this morning. However you want to use it. David then reached out and he got that and he used it over and over. Thy faithfulness is into all generations. Now that's all the way down to you and I this morning. That's established, certain, it abideth. Brother Bob Forbes had a vision one time a number of years ago. And in this vision, he saw a big board. This board had all kinds of switches and knobs and things on it. And he said he saw, I believe it was two hands and two white gloves. And said these hands were moving and doing everything this board, flipping switches and turning knobs and so forth. And God spoke to him and he said, I control the whole world. I like to be in touch with somebody that's got that kind of power. I've met men that I thought had power, but I'm going to tell you, I am acquainted with and the son of the most powerful, the most faithful, the most generous, kind, loving individual by the name of Jesus Christ, the righteous, and God the Almighty, praise God, and they control everything. And you and I, if we need something, no matter what it is, this faithful God's able to give it to you. He's able to do that this morning. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. Thank the Lord this morning for a faithful God. Now, there's been people that have been sick down through the years. And I don't know who here is got an affliction or got physical problems. But God is faithful to those of us that trust him. He's been faithful to his people over and over. All right, just hold that, but I'm going to jump to another scripture here. Psalm. The good book of Psalm 40. I believe it's the first, second verse of the 40th chapter of Psalms. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up. Also out of a horrible pit. No, this is not the one I want. I want 41. Instead of 41, 41 of Psalm. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him. Upon the bed of languishing, thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. He said, the Lord will strengthen him. Listen, folks, today, I don't know about you, but there is ministers and there's people that make hospital calls and make house calls, so to speak. They go visit people. I was in with a brother's father in Shawnee and didn't know the man well, but I went and visited him a number of times as he was in his declining days. And I was in there and his pastor come to visit him. And he come in there, and so I just kind of backed up for him and the other, just give them all the room they wanted. I said, well, I can leave, whatever. He said, we won't be here very long. Okay. He said, don't worry. You don't have to go anywhere. Just stay right here. You can continue your visit. We won't be here very long. And they weren't. Maybe 5 minutes, and I don't think it was that long. It was one of them short and quick prayers. It was, we love you, we're glad, how you doing, blah, 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 and so forth. And they were out of there. Listen, folks, I've had God come by and spend a lot more time than that with me. I've had him come and join, get into bed, Sister Sherry, just like he was with you that time with COVID. Listen, the nurses were talking, and Sister Sherry was laying there, and she's saying, God's doing this, praise God. It ain't man, it ain't doctors. Listen, folks, let me tell you today, the greatest physician that you and I could have in name Jesus Christ the righteous, he said, let us therefore come boldly in throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need, praise God. If we need him anytime, 24 hours a day, he's there. But he comes in, he makes hospital calls, he makes home calls. Listen, folks, he comes and stays with us and blesses and lifts and encourages and strengthens and touches and heals and delivers. He does things that nobody else can do, praise God.
Amen.
The doctors that was working with my father, the main one, the night Dad died, he said, well, we've done everything we can do. And this is what he done. He looked, if I remember right, he looked up and he pointed up. He said, it's up to him now. It's up to him.
Yes.
Well, it was Dad's time to go. My brother and I, my brother heard him pray. He said, Carl, that's about the sweetest prayer I've ever heard prayed. I wasn't there at that moment. But anyway, the Lord had mercy and eased him out of there. I'm going to tell you the best way for somebody to do is to live for God and trust God.
Yes.
And to let him come in and give you a visit, praise God. Not just one time, but many times. He said the Lord will strengthen him. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you get weary in a bed of affliction, in the bed of languishing, but he will come in and he will strengthen you. He will encourage you and inspire you. He'll give you some shouting time right there in the bed, praise God. There have been people singing around and they would raise their hands and they were rejoicing and thanking God for a faithful God that come down and touch them and bless them right in the midst of the affliction, praise the Lord. He make his bed with us. Listen, that's better than all the hospitals and all the doctors in the world. I'd rather have one moment with God in bed with me than everybody else. If it's just he and I don't care what it is, just he and I. Made a mistake several years ago. I'd been had a affliction. I had either strained, popped a ligament, whatever, from my knee to my foot, and I suffered for weeks. I literally preached in Shawnee out of a wheelchair for Sunday after Sunday. I couldn't even get up and stand up to take prayer requests. I got in it. When I got there, I stayed in it the whole time. I rolled myself back the door. They helped me back in the car, and wife would drive me home. That went on and on and on, and I suffered 24 hours a day. The Lord would give me some reprieve, but I made a mistake. And I was praying one night. I'd already asked the Lord to forgive me once, but I was going back and double-checking myself. And the Lord visited me about 1 o'clock in the morning. And he said, what does the Bible teach you? I said, the Bible teaches that we're to forgive one another. He said, son, I am the spirit of forgiveness. I am the spirit of forgiveness. Oh, that lifted. Listen, that was just a little house call, praise God. Just a little house call, a little time with he and I. He didn't heal me totally, completely, but he blessed me and lifted me and encouraged me and strengthened me. I am the spirit of forgiveness. Listen today, no matter what we need, David's crying out at 119, forgive me, and doing these things. And he's talking about the word of God and the strength of the word and the power of the word. The bottom line is this morning, he's a faithful God in every way. Every way. There have been people that have trusted the Lord all their lives. Time they got saved and got light and understanding on divine healing, they would trust God. And I have been acquainted with people in my time, and I've never had one of them yet say, I trusted the Lord in vain, and God, and I've never had one of them say he wasn't faithful to me. Never had one say that. This morning, he's faithful. Sometimes we don't understand some things, but as was preached about the cup, Brother Joseph talking this morning, listen, folks, Lord, help us to thank the Lord for the cup, thank the Lord for the cross. Listen, this morning, God is trying to get us to heaven. He's trying to deepen us and strengthen us and establish us. And he's got to take us through some hard spots once in a while. It ain't always jumping and shouting. Listen, but there's some down on your knees crying and begging for God to help you. But the bottom line is he's there. He's faithful. He's faithful to establish us in the things of God. All right, 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give me that scripture. Let me see. I find it here maybe. Seemed like it's in Ephesians where it talks about us sitting in heavenly places. If you can help me get that. We said in heavenly Christ. I've got another scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. Let's look there.
It's Ephesians 1 and 3.
What now?
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3.
Ephesians 1 and 3. No, 1 and 3 is not the one I want. All right, I want 2 and 6. That's what I want. I thought it was in Ephesians. All right, First Thessalonians 5 and 24. I want to tie them all in together here. Evidently, that's what the Lord's leading anyway. He said, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. And then over here in 2 and 6, of Ephesians, he said, well, let's go back up here. But God, 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, for grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Now, saints, we're here because of God. Now, say, well, heavenly places, that's talking about church service. That can be part of it. But I think it could go a little bit broader than that. You can be at home, too. You can have some heavenly places at home, on the job, riding in the car. Just different places. And the bottom line is, it's the Lord visiting us and blessing us and encouraging us and lifting us, whatever, giving us a song, giving us a verse, doing something that'll set you on fire, so to speak, and have you rejoicing in the things of God in heavenly places. Now then, again, I've been awed for a number of months now of the very fact that the great God of heaven, his son Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, they would take time to spend time with me. Who am I? Who am I? Well, you're his son. Well, I know that. But the bottom line is this. I know we were created by God, and I know I loved him. But listen, when we were down there walling in the muck and the mire and looked like a bunch of dirty pigs, so to speak, listen, there's a lot of people would not want to have anything to do with us. But God come down, and he visited us, and he called us, and he dealt with us. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. He was faithful to call us, and he was faithful to do it over and over till some of us come that away, praise God. And then he comes down, and he sets, visits, stays in our assembly and pours out glory to us and lets us have heavenly places. Listen, folks, this is better than anything else in the world. Amen. He's faithful to do that. Yes. COVID had everybody scared, shook up, running in the wrong direction sometimes and in the right directions. Had a man in Shawnee, one of my best friends, outside of the three congregations I pastored, he and I, as far as regular congregational members, were probably closer than anybody I've ever been close to. He and I had done a lot of things together. His dear wife called me on a Monday morning about 8 o'clock, a little after, and said, Brother Carl, Ron's not responding to me. I said, is he breathing? Yes, sir. I said, hold on, I'll be right there. So I rushed over there, and she told me that he had breathed and everything till just before I got there, and he quit. Ron Edmondson, as far as COVID-19 and the protocols, if you want to call the mask, and he had the shots, he done everything. As far as a person can do it, he stayed home, he social distanced, he done everything to a T. Perfect, by the way I'm going to say it. And then he went to, had some checkups done, and he done things that I didn't agree with. He and I butted heads a few times. I don't know if they're locked horns, but we butted heads, and we agreed to disagree, and he'd walk off and leave me doing things, and he'd go back to the house. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Dan. But that brother was faithful. He was faithful over and over. I could count on him, and he would do things, but he was faithful. He would tell me, he would talk about, wore my ears off on this COVID deal, about how you need to do this and do that, don't do this, don't do that, and over and over and over. He went to the doctor, and he had some checkups done. They said, come back in 10 years, you're fine. 2 weeks later, he was dead. He died just like that. His wife wasn't in the room with him when he went down. Actually, when he went down, he evidently either laid back on the bed or actually fell back on the bed. That's what we're not sure of it totally. But listen, folks, you can everything be perfect, and you can step on out of here. But you got to have that faithful God to help you as you go down right to the end. And oh, bless God this morning. God is faithful to help us right down to the end. My little part in the funeral was I talked about Brother Ron's faithfulness. And I thought about it. I'd never thought of it quite this way. I was meditating and looking to the Lord for something to say. And he said, he's faithful. And I looked at all the different things. I'd known him for several years. Worked with him for several years. We had a great relationship. And he was faithful down. He even had some convictions that wasn't exactly agreeing with mine or either other pastor that he had, one before me and one after me. And I looked back there and one pastor was sitting back here shaking his head and smiling. I thought, yeah, you butted heads with him over his convictions and couldn't change him. You couldn't change him. You couldn't move him. Listen, folks, this morning, you can't move God neither. God is faithful right down to crossing the T and dotting the I. He is there. Faithful. He's there to visit us. He's there to be in service with us. Listen, folks, we don't have to have preaching to have a good meeting. Y'all had. Now, I wasn't here the other morning, was tied up, but the bottom line was the very presence of God. We have been in services where God has been there. I've been there where the children didn't hardly make a noise. Nobody wanted to leave the sanctuary. It's the very fact that the God of heaven, the God of heaven and His Son and the Holy Ghost come down and spent time with us. Listen, folks, you can't get a higher blessing than that. A faithful God to come down and visit us. Spend time with us. Who are we? Well, we're the church of God. The bottom line is we're who we are because of the very fact that a faithful God called us. We surrendered. We gave her all to Him. And then He comes down and blesses us over and over and over and over. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Thank the Lord. He's faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Called into the fellowship. Thank the Lord. You can't get anywhere unless Jesus deals with you. You can't get anywhere unless He calls you. You can't get anywhere without Him coming down and knocking and working, praise God, with your heart. But He did it. Didn't He? He did it. He touched you. And He called you and you responded to that. And you're here today because of that. I'm going to tell you, how often do we thank God for what He does for us? I've done janitor work off and on since 1977. I go in a mall, especially the Shawnee Mall. I don't know how I do it in any other place particularly, but they'll have these little carts and there'll be people rolling these carts and they have brooms and all this cleaning stuff and so forth, and they're going along and they're cleaning. And I walk up to them, I say, I want to thank you for what you're doing. Amen. Listen, folks, God's coming along cleaning too. Yeah. He's cleaning on us, so to speak. Yeah. He's working with us. How much do we thank Him? Our wives do things. Our husbands do things. And we appreciate that and thank them for it. But listen, folks, you can't thank God enough every day for what He does for you. Because if He wasn't faithful, you and I had done been gone. We had done dropped off into eternity. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it over and over. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Thank the Lord. All right. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. Let's wind her on down here. We've got a little bit. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. All right, Hebrews 2 and 17, establish you. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And that 18th verse on translation, that he is able to run to them quickly and help them. Now, he said here, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. If you've ever been a boss, owner, however you want to say it, lead man, superintendent, and you've got a business that can take people and can work with them and give them a nice job for a number of years, a nice income, you want to take them from what they know and what they understand. I've had temps come on the job there and the install work, and One of the first things I'd done with them is I wanted to know what they knew and what they didn't know. Do you know any carpenter work? Well, yeah. How much do you know? Well, this. Okay, that's what I need to know. I knew then what I could do with them pretty well. And he said, well, I don't really know any carpenter work. I've done this or done, I've been a chef or I've worked at a gas station or I've done janitor work or whatever. I said, all right, that's what I need to know. But the bottom line is you want to take a person and you want to establish them and make them into what can be a very productive individual for your business and your company, your corporation, whatever it is. You don't want just anybody floating around in a child's state and them been with you 20 years. You want them to be very productive. And the more you teach them, the more you establish them and settle them and get them into position, the more they can do for you. God wants to do that with you and I. He is faithful to establish you and I, to take us and to work with us and to bring us to a place where we can be an encouragement to souls and be a blessing in the work of God and the kingdom of God. And he wants to do that to you and I over and over and over. It takes hard knocks. Brother Egbert used to call it boot camp. Working with us. Let's see, how would he say that? I can't remember exactly how he used to say it, but the Lord wants to establish us. The more established you are, the more settled you are. And some people say, well, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go through all these trials and tribulations? I'm going to tell you why. So that you will understand how to do the job, but you can also help others. In all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Listen, folks, Jesus would not know how to do with us what he does with us unless he would have come down here and went through what he went through. I've sent a lot of cards. I send a lot of bereavement, sympathy cards, remembrance cards. And back, I don't know when it was, but anyway, one day where it talks about the God of all comfort shall comfort you, and that word all stuck out to me. I thought, all. Carl, do you know what that means? That means that Jesus Christ is able to comfort you no matter what your situation is. I can comfort and understand some things, but God and Jesus is able to take it lots further than that, and he can get in there. And anymore, I've got where I make it a capital A-L-L and underline it. I've got where I make it a capital C on the comfort and underline that. He can comfort you. He can establish and work with you no matter what the situation. He's wanting to help you. Listen, he come that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sons of the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to get to them. He's able to keep them and establish them and work with them over and over and over. John Bunyan, he had just got married, hadn't even gone on his honeymoon. They come in, they took him away, put him in prison, what, 13 and a half years? 13 and a half years. What did we get out of that? Pilgrim's Progress? How many more books did we get out of it? Was it worth it? He suffered, no doubt. Listen, you may suffer, but I don't care what kind of prison cell you might be in. With the very workings of the Spirit of God in that prison cell, it's a heavenly cell, praise God. It's a place that is blessed because of the presence of God. He got things, and he has blessed people through the whole world with the very fact of the things that he got from God, and he had to go through it to get that. He had to get down in the depths to have the vision and the understanding. Listen, folks, it takes some real hard knocks to be able to get the understanding. Understanding sometimes to you and I that we need to have going through things over and over. And then we get that understanding, we can reach out and say, I understand. It means a lot to me when somebody says, I understand. And Jesus says, I understand this morning. I understand your sickness. I understand your affliction. I understand, and I have power, and I have authority, and I am able to heal you. Just trust me. Just look to me. Just talk to me. Spend time with me. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I've been on my knees. I've been where I couldn't even lay down in bed. I couldn't even lay back hardly in a recliner. And there one time here a while back, about a year ago, I guess it was, and I had that problem again, my neck and my shoulders and so forth. And I run through my mind. I thought, how am I even going to sleep? I can't get in a comfortable position. And the Lord helped me understand how to do it. And I didn't get the greatest sleep I've ever got, but I did get some sleep. But the Lord comes down. In 87, when I was so sick in West Virginia and Kentucky, the Lord come down and he visited me. He gave me glory like I've not had very many times. I thought I would explode. And Sister Sammons and Rebecca heard me. I was crying and shouting at the same time. And Rebecca got up and come in there and said, are you all right? I said, I'm fine. Jesus just come real close by. He got real close and the glory of God was there and I could feel it. And I thought I would nearly explode. Yes. He done it again. A little bit later, this time the Brother Sammons had a tape on and got on a song in our book. And it was so rich I thought I'd explode again. I was just shouting and rejoicing. A faithful God. Listen, folks, now no matter how hard it gets, the faithfulness of God is going to help you to get through the trials and the tribulations, through the afflictions or whatever it is, and he's going to take you all the way through, praise God, and help you. All right, let's go to Psalms 89. Let's finish up here. 89 and 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth. Will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations? For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up the throne, thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, are to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. The waves can be large. He was on the boat. He was asleep. The disciples were shook up. They woke him up and he spoke and he said, peace be still. Said there was a great calm. Listen, he's able to calm any problem we have. He controls the whole world. Now then, he said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Lord, help us to let it be known of his faithfulness. There's a lot of people today are not faithful. There's a lot of companions are not faithful. There's a lot of children. People are not what they used to be 50 years ago, 40 years ago, even 30 years ago. It has changed drastically, especially in the last several years. And I don't see it getting any better unless there be a great revival break out across this country and people get God. That would change the whole scenario. But today you and I need to tell of the faithfulness of God. We let it be known that people that are down and out in the doldrums and in the muck and the mire and the mully grubs of sin and wherever, we need to let them know that there is somebody that will help you.
and that will be with you and stay with you. You may not have a companion. You may not have a father or mother, but there's a God and there's a Jesus Christ, and they will be faithful to your heart, soul, mind, and body, and to help you in every way you need. And all you need to do is get them, repent, confess, and become saved or be delivered. And as you do that and you live for Him, that person named Jesus Christ will be there to be a faithful Savior to you. Faithful. Oh, today I will sing of the mercies, and I'll make known thy faithfulness to all, not just one. Been doing this a few years now. Lord willing, we're going to keep doing it till the end of our life, letting people know of the faithfulness of God. Listen, folks, you've got a world of your own to let people know there's a faithful Creator and a faithful Jesus Christ. And not only that, but your testimony has a high ring of His faithfulness. Amen. We were talking about testimonies the other day and talking about it, Sister Sherry, dear one. Listen, folks, your testimony is a powerful, powerful tool to help people. Had somebody that I know, hadn't seen him, well, I've seen him not too long back. He has a wife, I guess she still is. She was hooked on smoking so bad, nothing she tried worked. So I asked him, I said, Joe, yeah. I said, have you ever heard any of the testimonies of the saints that have been delivered from nicotine and smoking? Yeah. I said, have you ever told your wife that? He goes, no. I said, you need to tell her. She needs to hear what God can do. Listen, folks, there's people out there don't even hardly know who God is. They don't know who He is, what He is, and all about Him. And God needs people today to tell of the faithfulness of God. Not only tell it, but live it, praise God. Let them know that I have somebody that helped me from morning tonight, and all through the night. I have one that stands by me. I've been through this trial and that trial, and it's been the power and the grace of God that has got me through. I've been sick and He healed me all the way from a headache to this. Listen, one time Brother Sammons went into a business paying his electric bill or gas bill or water bill, whatever, in there, and there's a woman in there. And this woman, him, got to talking, and she looked like a Jezebel. All painted up, and lipstick, and jewelry, I guess. And she's saying, God, heal me of cancer. Said, I know I had it because the doctor said I had it. And then I went back. She said, people praying for me, and said, God, heal me. See, it's all gone. Brother Murphy Allen was suffering with cancer about that time. Brother Sammons walked out there, and he walked down the street, and he's saying, Lord, You healed her. What about your son over here? Your faithful minister for many years, and the thing is eating his face off. How about him? And the Lord spoke to him, and He said, I healed her in My mercy. I was faithful to her through My mercy. Listen, folks, God's mercy goes further than we can ever even imagine. We can't get to the depths of His mercy. And today, praise God, He needs you and I. That woman no doubt told it. God was getting the credit for healing. Sister Joyce Cunningham, you was there, Renee Gale. Matter of fact, you was the one prayed for. You remember that night in that meeting? And she had cancer. She knew she had cancer. She had had an x-ray, and it was all through her chest area, inside. And she was there, and she said she come down. I don't remember what Brother Michael preached on that now, but anyway, she come to the altar, and she sat down there, and Sister Renee went over. And I believe you was the only one prayed for, if I remember right. And prayed for her, and she said she felt a warm touch that went all the way through her body. And she knew something had happened. And that thing would have killed her. Matter of fact, her brother had cancer through his chest area when it many, many, many years ago. And the saints got to praying for him, and it all changed. And they didn't particularly know what happened to him. I don't think they ever went and had any x-rays or anything. But he lived, and he lived for many years. And I preached his funeral way down years later. And Sister Joyce said, I felt it, Brother Carl. It went from here all the way, just a warm feeling all the way through her body. Well, her husband wasn't saved, and he's pressing her hard to go at least have a checkup, so she went. And they checked her out and x-rayed her, and I don't know what all they done. And they come out of there shaking their head, said, I can't understand this. What do you mean? Well, that cancer's gone. There's none there. And she said, let me tell you the rest of the story. Let me tell you somebody that's done something for me, praise God. Praise God, he touched me and he's healed me. His name is Jesus Christ. And he done something. Listen, folks, today people need to heal that. They need to know what God can do for the heart, the soul, the mind, the body. And they need to hear it now, praise God. The end of time may not be very far off. But I'm going to tell you, there are people out there that's laying in the ditches. And is all messed up with drugs and alcohol. And all these opiates and all that stuff. They need to know that God is a faithful God. We need to tell it. We need to let it be known. Praise God. The saints need to hear it. Well, my little testimony don't mean much. Let me tell you something. When I was here in 1987 to the spring of 91, there is people that give testimonies on a Wednesday night that I still carry with me many years later, 30-something years later. The Lord done this and the Lord done that in answer to prayer. Instant touches, instant this and instant that, and it still resonates in my mind. Listen, he's a faithful God in 2021, and he needs you to tell it to the whole world, praise God. I'm going to tell you, dependent on you. He does everything he can do. But when you open your big mouth and you say, God done this for me. He delivered me from cigarettes. He delivered me from drinking and drugs. I was down in the muddy ground. I wasn't happy. I was a pitiful mess. And Jesus come along and answered a prayer. And he raised me up. And he raised me out. And he established my going. He set my feet on a solid rock. And he put a new song in my mouth. Listen, folks, your testimony means something. Amen. Tell it. Amen. Tell what the Jesus has done for you, praise God. Tell of the healings. Tell of the blessings. Just tell it. Amen. I made a covenant with my chosen, and I've sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Listen, folks. When the people got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they were beside themselves. I'm going to tell you, when we get the Holy Ghost, we need to be beside ourselves too. We need to be praising God. We need to be rejoicing, just like was preached the other afternoon. Oh, we need to let this thing be known, praise God. Who can be compared? You can't compare anybody to Jesus, or to God, or to the Holy Ghost. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened? They can't be. There's no way. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, who is a strong Lord, like unto thee and to thy faithfulness round about thee. Everywhere he goes, everything about him, his name is a faithful God. His name is a faithful Christ. Oh, he's there. I could be wrong, but every one of you would have to say you're here because of that faithful God. Physically, mentally, emotionally, we are here because of the faithfulness of God today. All right, one more scripture and I'll quit. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. Lord, help me not to get wound up on that one. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, today, let us hold fast. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. Isn't he faithful today? Everybody say he's faithful. He's faithful. He's a faithful God. And you tie all the mercy and all the love and all the pity and all the compassion and put that all with it, and there ain't nobody like him. And I'm thankful today that he come down in 1971. And he didn't quit. Went on, I don't know just how long. I know it started in the fall. I come here in the camp meeting in 71 in Guthrie. And that got my relationship with the saints started. And I don't know exactly when the conviction started, but I had it for a while. And finally that night, after dear Brother Lloyd had come and pleaded with me and begged me and talked to me, and he'd done everything but forced me to get on my knees and pray. He told me, he said, if you will just get down here and pray, the Lord will forgive you. I know he will. Well, I knew he would too, because he'd been dealing with me for weeks and months. I don't know how long, but a good while. But I wouldn't quit. I wanted to stay in sin a little bit longer. But it wasn't much longer, because he climbed in the car and he rode with me. I'm going to tell you, I like him when he gets in the car and rides with me. I like him when he gets in the house and stays with me. I like him when he gets in them big jets, and away we go. Closer I get, the more I might want to shout. But anyway, he told me, he said, you can be ever so rich, child, and I can take it all away from you in a moment's time. And he showed me another thing. He showed me, he said, even young men die and go out into eternity. You don't have no promise of tomorrow, so to speak. And I got to my room, and I got ready for bed, and I couldn't go to sleep. It just rolling over and over. Finally, I thought the best thing to do is get out and start praying. And I did. And the one that's been faithful to this minister and that saint and this sister and that brother and this young person and that young person, he met me that night. And he's been faithful to me ever since for nearly 50 years now. Thank the Lord. I appreciate your time and attention. Let's stand. Have a number. Anybody needs prayer for an affliction or whatever, the altar's open. We want everybody to feel free to come.